Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company. The President's Cancer Panel recommends foods produced without toxic, persistent pesticides and chemical fertilizers. We couldn't agree more. That's why Stonyfield yogurt is always organic yogurt.
Now, let's get small. Very small. Nano size. Nano means billionth. It's hard to picture, but consider this. There are a billion seconds in 32 years. That's small. But when it comes to making products using nanomaterials, companies are thinking big. It's estimated the nano market could soon be worth hundreds of billions of dollars a year, maybe even a trillion or two. And while you can't see nanoparticles unless you had an electron microscope, you can already find products that use them. They're in everything from non-schmear sunscreens and lip gloss to high-tech textiles and mobile phones. Recently, the U.S. FDA announced the first voluntary guidelines for companies that want to use nanoparticles in their foods, drugs, and packaging materials. Dennis Keefe is director of the FDA's Office of Food Additive Safety. Welcome to the show, Mr. Keefe.
Hello. Thank you. Thanks for having me today.
So why voluntary guidelines?
Well, guidance by definition under our system are voluntary. They're designed to represent the agency's best thinking on particular issues.
What about regulations? Why not make real rules?
Well, if in a specific situation with a particular nanomaterial, we could indeed develop specific regulations to establish safe conditions of use for nanomaterials.
So in terms of guidelines, does that have the force of law?
It does not have the force of law, no.
So you're basically saying to companies, kind of let us know how these things turn out for you.
What it's doing is under the law, the companies have an obligation to market foods that are safe, and including the ingredients that they put into those foods as safe. Now what this guidance is doing, the intent of it is to provide manufacturers with guidance on what we think they should be considering as they make manufacturing changes.
So let's say I'm a company that produces a food that has a nanoparticle or incorporates a nanoparticle in the wrapper. What do I have to do?
Okay, if it's a brand new ingredient that hasn't been used in the food supply before, we would encourage them to look at the guidance and consider the points we've made in the guidance that they should be looking at. And if they do indeed have questions, they should come in and talk to us, and we can give them guidance. And perhaps, if we do have concerns about the safety of the ingredient, we would require additional testing.
So what if a company didn't come in and meet with you?
If they didn't come in and meet with us, and we had a safety issue, we would take an enforcement action. This might be a warning letter, depending on the severity of the public health risk. We might seize the product to get it off the market. We might ask for a recall of the product, depending on what our authorities are on in terms of the regulated industry.
What if you didn't know if you had a safety issue and this stuff was being sold and used?
What if we didn't know we had a safety issue?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was being used for 5 or 6 or 7 years, and, all of a sudden people start developing, nano disease.
Well, then we would have an identified safety concern. We would take action.
I'm reminded back many years ago when there were so many chemicals being developed, and the U.S. government's attitudes towards the explosion of chemicals was, they're innocent until proven guilty, that the companies basically could produce these things until somebody said they weren't safe. Is that what's going on here?
No, actually, under the way the statute is organized, if an ingredient falls under the definition of a food additive or a color additive, they must undergo a pre-market approval and review by the FDA. They can't just go to market.
What about food supplements?
Food supplements, they're new dietary ingredients. They are exempt from the legal definition of a food additive, and so they're not subject to the pre-market approval authority for food additives.
So how well understood are the health effects of nanoparticles?
Well, this is an emerging technology. In addition to this guidance, we have research that the FDA and others are funding to examine the safety of these nanomaterials. We understand that it's an emerging technology, and we have to move slowly on this.
If you applied a nanomaterial to your skin, which is your largest organ, I would assume it would go right through, right?
There are tests that have been done to measure, you know, transmission through the skin for cosmetic application and also for drug applications. So there is an assay that has been developed to measure that, and that is something that would be looked at under a pre-market approval process.
So a manufacturer might say, well, I know what the assay, this test is. I'll use the test, but they don't have to submit the data to you.
Well, if it is a drug application, they would.
But not a food.
Because of the legal authority for cosmetics, we don't have pre-market approval authority for cosmetics.
So if somebody put a nanoparticle in a cosmetic, they can do that, and they don't need your seal of approval.
They don't have to come and get an approval before they go to market, yes. And this is one of the importances of the cosmetics guidance and indicating to industry what we think they should be doing in terms of due diligence to ensure that their products are indeed safe.
This nano biz can get really big. What's industry's response been to these two guidelines?
Well, the guidelines are just becoming available on the web. We have a 90-day comment period, and we'll just have to see what the response will be from the industry.
Well, Mr. Keefe, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Dennis Keefe is director of the FDA's Office of Food Additive Safety.
Just ahead, wind power gets bogged down in Scotland. Keep listening to Living on Earth.